Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
I am entirely a whole vibe today.
Happy Thursday.
Big ol' happy Thursday. Saber start. Like, I'm starting on the lowest parts of this, okay? But the Sabres start, so it means I get to watch hockey or watch more hockey from around here.
Right.
Whether that's successful or not, we'll get into that. But because the Sabres play tonight, I get to go on a two-day streak of eating that chicken parm sub.
It's going to be an event. It's going to be an event for you.
I will text you a picture of that.
It's going to be an event.
Yes, it will.
I've also got playoff baseball continuing to go on.
Jays, which is the next part of it, because the Jays move on to the next round.
The bullpen game got it done.
The bullpen game. And you know what? It's good because they kind of chunked it in game three. Mm-hmm. They start the pitcher that gives up the bomb to Judge to tie the game in game three. They start him. He does fine through two innings. But they had questions heading into that game. They got it done. So, great day. Okay, Bills, what you got? Oh, they at least get back to practice.
They are back to practice today. We'll talk with Sal in just about a half hour at 10:30.
But today,
we'll get some of the latest on the injuries. Today, though, is going to be very much Sabres-centric home opener for the season against the New York Rangers, a team that they played pretty well against, at least their goaltender, Igor Shesterkin, did very well against him last year. Many of the new additions will be playing. One of the main ones, though, will not be.
The biggest piece will not.
Mm-hmm. But we'll get more into that as we go along here today from 10 to 12. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. The good news, though, in terms of the injuries for the Sabres, Owen Power went from a non-contact jersey earlier in the week, a contact jersey, and now he is expected to play. He, along with Matias Samuelson, so that is at least good on the blue line for them to have most of their D-core ready to go. Alex Lyon is expected to get the start tonight. I'd be stunned if it was literally anybody else. I think we all would be.
Freshly claimed Colton Ellis would be its selection.
He would be the guy. That would be interesting.
That would be, you know what that would be? Actually, even Alex Lyon's probably going to be an interesting trivia answer one of these days. But
yep.
It was one of those things where it was legitimately looking like they might not have the entire second pair on defense to start the year. And it's like, oh, okay. I don't care what the analytics are telling us about the Sabres and the prediction charts. That's not a great way to start the year. But Power should be back. Injured reserve in hockey is different than it is in football. You can go and assign it retroactively to the day of injury.
Mm-hmm.
Teams probably cheese it every now and then.
Game the system if you can.
I
have no issue with that.
And Power in a contact jersey in the day before the game tells me he's ready to go, and it was kind of where they were going to be at all along in order to make a roster spot ready for him. They've waived Alex Georgiev, who was going to terrify me if he had to put on a Sabres uniform in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So, vibes are up? Question mark?
I'm that's kind of where I want to start. And so you're somebody, you watched a lot of preseason hockey this year for the
Sabres. As a matter of fact, I had to do a couple of these games for the station.
You did. I did not. And I spoke on this a little bit last night on the nightcap. But for me, a big part of this, and maybe this is not the right way to do it, but it's how it was for me. I've bought in with this team a few times over the last few years.
My fault.
And I've gotten burned by it. And so for this year, and mainly after the draft and kind of the lack of finding that second, the top six forward or what have you, I'm going to move on. I'll get there when I get there. About a week or so before the season actually started, I started to get there, and I'm here now. My thing is, though, and I wonder how many other fans are like this, of just how important just this month is for them to actually care about where the team is at. That's maybe not fair to the Sabres, who are dealing with injuries, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, Michael Kesselring, we've already mentioned, and what have you. But maybe not even just this first month, the first week of the season, of having the Rangers and then Boston.
Right. A Boston team that now is bad.
But if you start 0-2, 0-1-1, how quickly do people just go, I can't do this again?
I already can't do this again. And the worst part, I think, is the timing of it, if that happens. Because let's be real about this right now. The vibes around the Bills, a 4-1 team, are not great. They've played poorly through three games. They finally lose one. They lose to a Patriots team that you should have beaten. And now people are, I would say, properly teeing off on the issues that have been there for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also plenty of overreaction going on and misery. Again, it's a fine line. And plenty of people are not recognizing said fine line. But, yeah, if the Sabres start off with two losses again, that is kind of a throwing your arms up in the air and going, what are you good for? Which is kind of why they need to get off to a hot start.
We've talked about it a little bit, that fast start. And it may not mean anything. I mean, they could get off to a slow start and actually, fun enough, just be just fine. They could get off to a hot start. We've seen that before, and it ultimately mean nothing. But I think for just – look, tonight is going to be a sellout. That's what I was hearing yesterday, and I think it's continuing on it today. Like, it's going to be a sold-out crowd. Great. I've mentioned that the first few games are probably the best to go to because there's nothing dragging you there because they're great, and there's nothing pulling you away because they're bad. It's just the start of a new season and the excitement there. It's very fresh. It's very honest.
And that's the thing about the start of a season is that hope is always abound for every franchise, even the one that is here. Unless you're San Jose.
Right.
They are still going through the years-long rebuild. Their roster. Anyway, I kid. But my point there is that this team has an opportunity to make a statement early on right away. And there are going to be enough fans in this fan base that say, I've seen this trick before. You're going to pull the wool over my eyes, and the question is when. And this team does get off to hot starts. As a matter of fact, up until December last year, they were having one. Like, granted, they go 0-3-1 to start the year, but when December starts, they're threatening for second in the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
In that division, with Florida and Toronto and Tampa, they're the ones threatening for second place at that point. And then they don't win until Christmas, or the day before Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And the season is lost then and there. My thing is, hope is always going to be there. Fan bases are hilariously forgiving. They can also be hilariously fickle. Tonight is a chance to at least set a tone. It's one game out of 82. I am very interested, when I'm in that crowd tonight, to find out what the attitude becomes as everyone's walking out.
Mm-hmm.
Do fans have themselves a good old time today? Or am I eating a chicken parm sub in sadness? We're going to find out. And again, it's one game. But for a franchise, and in particular a locker room at this point, that needs it, it's pretty important. Because there's a lot of pieces on this core that was recognized by Kevin Adams. They want to get this done. They want to be the ones to break the drought. They want to effectively be immortalized within Buffalo sports.
Right.
And also, players like to win. You can't keep skating for a team that is so pitted in misery and do it forever. You can only take so much.
Mm-hmm.
Even the most honorable will have that problem. It's one game, but go set the tone. You are facing a team that has Matt Rempe on their power play unit. I know that drove Owen crazy as I'm looking at him over there in the glass. Like, that drove him crazy seeing that. You better beat a team that's starting Matt Rempe on a power play unit. And it also gives us another thing, Zach, if they start out nice and hot. An escape. It gives people a chance to turn away from the Bills, who've kind of irritated them over 3 weeks. And here's a distraction. It gives us, talking on the Extra Point Show here, a chance to talk about something else.
Yeah, I don't have to talk about wide receivers.
Yes.
So cool.
I would love a break from talking about
that. For just a little bit.
I am talking about first world problems here. But yes, I would love to stop talking about wide receivers for a second. I would love to stop talking about separation score. That's the new phrase that's just going to make me vomit. But the Sabres offer an opportunity for you to have a distraction. Mm-hmm. Hey, look at me over here.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, I got A's on my first two classes in midterms. That's the Sabres starting 2-0. You peek your eye over there and go, huh, okay. Maybe you will be fun this year. And we'll see what happens.
It's a little thing, but yeah.
Enough of the fan base is going to say, I've seen this before, don't you dare. But there's also enough of the fan base that's going to go, okay, show us something.
Mm-hmm.
That's the opportunity they have in front of them tonight.
What's frustrating, too, and we talked a lot about it when it was happening. I think we've maybe not ignored it, but just when it became another lost season, it just kind of all clumped together. This is a team that was able to also go on win streaks. What was that? I mean, they finally won 3 games in a row for the first time in like 2 years last year and what have you. It really was just don't go on a 13-game losing streak.
Right.
And you'll probably be just fine. That is maybe, in trying to be hopeful, but give us a second. Just don't do that. When they start going on that streak, you mentioned it. Like, they start terribly in Europe. They look awful. And the power play continues to be a disaster for a little bit there, what have you. But when the losing streak starts, they're 11-9-1. They've rebounded from a bad start in Europe. Their special teams are not very good, and yet 5-on-5, they're just fine,
they're
if not very good.
As a matter of fact, in November, there's an injury to Thompson.
Yeah.
That they survive.
Mm-hmm. Which is something in years prior, not a thing. Not a thing. They could not survive a Dahlin injury the year prior.
So now you're without your best forward, and you survive. And it's out west.
Mm-hmm.
Sabres after dark early in the season, and they thrive on that trip, actually. And climb toward third in the Atlantic. Threatening for second.
And this is a team that started the year, we talk about Europe, but they started the year 1-4-1. They were not good.
They were not good to start it.
And they were able to climb back in. It's that losing streak right there. And I guess that's at least something that does give me hope. Even though they've done it 2 years in a row where their season has ended because of an unbelievably long losing streak. But it does give me some hope in the sense of, but you've proven you're talented enough to go on some win streaks, to make up some ground you maybe have lost. You just can't go into such a rut that statistically it's an anomaly.
WGR Sports Radio 5.
That's the only thing you can't do is get into such a rut that you can't get out. They've got talent. I heard Joe and Jeremy talking about it. They don't necessarily have the two star players that are driving everything.
Right.
But they've got the depth. Now, the big piece and the guy that I'm excited to watch tonight is Josh Norris. He took Zach Benson's number 9. That's fine. We'll deal with it later. Zach Benson's number 6. My issue there is nothing really Norris does in particular. It's his health. The most games he's ever played in an NHL season is 66. That also happens to be by far his best season. 35 goals, 55 points. But outside of that, he's never played more than 60 games except for that one season.
Norris, by the way, in the preseason was fantastic. On a line with Thompson, they seem to have chemistry right away. It's going to be very fascinating. Benson playing there. Krebs played there in the preseason as well. It didn't seem to matter. If you have a skilled player that at least knows how to get the puck to them, everyone's going to thrive. It is health. But Norris has an opportunity here. This is the first real look Sabres fans will get at him. He only plays a couple of games, and that's it for last year. And they shut him down with the oblique injury.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember Norris right away trying to find some sort of, I guess I'd call it goodwill within the locker room as a new addition. Because one of the games that he plays, of the two that he plays, is Detroit on the road. That game turns into like Scrum Central. There's a relatively dirty hit in that game by Detroit. The Sabres, they may be getting their teeth kicked in on the scoreboard, but they stood up and said, no, we're not taking this.
Mm-hmm.
And almost everybody was trying to find a partner that night.
Yeah.
But that's the only real look that you got at Norris. He had a point in that game, by the way. But now there's an opportunity here. Real opportunity to look at a Sabres player in number 9 like nobody has ever been able to do so before. I see you smirking. I know you see what I did
Michael
there.
Michael did score last night.
Yeah,
signed,
I know.
Signed his extension, too.
Yeah, that's cool.
Just pointing it out, it did happen.
I'm going to point out that people are going to look at number 9 here and think, wow, that guy's really good.
Well, we were doing that with Zach Benson.
Yeah.
And we moved on.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Norris. There seems to be so much potential there that is locked away behind his injuries.
Right.
And I said something maybe a few weeks ago about him, just if he can get to 70 games, I'd be thrilled. I would be through the roof. I didn't realize he had hit 60 games one time in his career. I mean, now I'd be through the roof if he was able to hit 70. I know Brayton Wilson put up his bold predictions, and he had, you know, a bold prediction being that Norris plays the entire year. If he's able to do that, that top line, the top end talent they do have, could be incredibly dangerous against an Atlantic division that seems to be on the downswing a little bit here. You mentioned Boston is terrible.
Boston's the only team that you... I'm going to argue with that slightly because Boston's the only team in the Atlantic that you can actually count on being terrible.
No, absolutely. But you have Florida dealing with their injuries. You have Toronto. We're going to see what they look like without Marner. They did get a win last night, 5-2 against Montreal. There is some changes going on. And then, of course, you have the perennial three teams that might make a jump up. Ottawa, Detroit, Buffalo. You really kind of don't know what you're getting with any of them, ever.
You mentioned Montreal, though. That's another team that they were a young team that punched above their weight class last year. Can you turn around and do it again? Or at least take the next step?
Mm-hmm. We'll see. I'm excited. In part, I think I'm – you know what? Honestly, though, and I do mean this, I think I'm excited because I haven't, for 2-3 months leading up to this, zeroed in on every single decision they've done. The most I've done is in the last 2 weeks of just, okay, let's get back into hockey. Let's, you know, hear what this team is doing and that team is doing and listen to some podcasts. And it's allowed me to just take a breath with them a little bit. And that's for me personally. I'm not saying that's got to be for everybody, but for me personally. And this may also help them this year, the Olympic break. They're going to have a lot of games clumped together.
Yep.
We mentioned it. It could be one of those things. If they get on a run, there's almost nothing stopping it. You just keep going and going and going and going. There's no real practice time either. It's literally just you're playing games. In the same vein, though, it could be a real negative. If they're getting into a rut, again, there may not be anything to get them out of it. The hope there is, and say what you will about Kevyn Adams, he did mention it multiple times. He knows he botched the 13-game losing streak and not making a move. So you hope if they're ever even remotely near that same situation again, he learned from the past mistakes and is willing to make a move, willing to do something. Because I get it. You're on a lot of teams' no trade lists and what have you, but at least to try to do something.
I'm going to be a little bit more apprehensive on the general manager in terms of moves that he can and would prefer to make. But that is not tonight.
No.
Tonight is about the home opener. It is about the first game of the season. It is about trying to start 1-0. It is about trying to invigorate a fan base that is desperately asking you to do it for them. How often does this station even talk about this team now? That's the problem. They've become almost the forgotten child. It's an opportunity to at least start the year and go, let's see what you got.
Okay, yeah.
That is the opportunity here.
803-0550, the number to call. Your thoughts going into tonight as the Buffalo Sabres will open up the season at home against the New York Rangers. 6 p.m. pregame, 7 p.m. puck drop. We'll go to the phones here as Frank is first up today. Frank, how we doing?
Good, thanks. I wanted to talk about two things when it comes to the Sabres. First of all, I just wanted to point out, earlier you had said that Owen Power was in a contact jersey, yep. Which is kind of like jumbo shrimp, I think. It's kind of a whether he's in a contact jersey or not, I don't think that much matters when it comes to him as far as contact goes. And then second of all, the thing I'm worried about the Sabres and I'm looking for and I'm hoping that they really improve on, and you can even point to the last preseason game, and I know preseason isn't necessarily a barometer of how the team is going to be, but it points to what has really hurt this team, especially over the last two or three years, is that they get a lead in the third period, and eventually you can almost see the writing on the wall. They gave it up. They had a two-goal lead in that Pittsburgh game, and I said to myself, uh-oh, they have a lead going into the third period. So I guess that's all I wanted to say about that. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Frank. Frank, thanks for the call. Owen Power, he's going to have to deal with that forever, isn't he? Whether it's right or wrong, he is going to have to do something to prove it.
First of all, a non-contact jersey also means don't hit him in practice. But, you know, any way you can make that joke, you go ahead and do it.
That was something for them, though, last year, right? It was the losing the leads. I'm thinking about the – I know Paul's brought this up, the Colorado Avalanche game. In the middle of that losing streak, it's their fourth straight loss. That's one of them, isn't it, where they
do it twice, actually, Colorado.
They do it twice in that game.
In that season with Colorado. They do it twice to the same franchise, actually. As a matter of fact, Pittsburgh, the team that beat them in said last preseason game, does this to them as well early in the year, where Buffalo, instead of walking away with a victory, they end up going home with an overtime loss. I'm not going to use Alex Georgiev in net as a barometer for how it's going to go again this year. I'll tell you that right now. And I'll say that with confidence, and I'll say it with my chest. I'm not going to go ahead and use the line that I usually do with the Bills in the playoffs, which is last year's or previous performances do not guarantee future success or failures, because I am talking about a team with such a long playoff drought. It would actually be naive of me to use that same sort of argument. What I am going to say, though, is that it is indeed a new season. And unfortunately, through either hell or high water, we're going to find out together what they are again.
I just hope they're not out of it by Christmas. 803-0550, the number to call. Feelings on the Sabres as they begin their season tonight. We'll also get a word in on the Bills when we come back as they get back to practice today with them playing on Monday. We'll get a word in on the injuries as well. A number of the big ones. Matt Milano going to be week to week, but maybe Ed Oliver could be a full participant today. Zach Capaccio will join the show next for more of a word on the Bills. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling
telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.